Welcome back. During the break, had several messages on my phone and not on the WhatsApp, but one of the messages I have is coming from Ericott, from a gentleman by the name of Boss. Good afternoon to you. He found an ATM card in Ericott belonging to Tanya Marshall. Tanya Marshall, if you have misplaced your COB card, it's in Ericott in St. Thomas. And I want to thank you for that, Boss. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Miss Hager, I'd like to engage you in a few topics of concern to me and certainly to the rest of the world. The first one has to do with the headline in today's Nation, Police Under Fire, Lawyer Calls on Force to Address Complaints of Brutality. In 1968, as a 19-year-old, I joined the Royal Barbados Police Force and went to the police training. It was called then the Regional Police Training School. And I said this yesterday to Mr. Ellis, but in a different context. And we were trained to respect people's rights, because at the end of the day, rich, poor, black or white, they are human. And the oath of office, I think the last paragraph or the second last paragraph, said to you that you'll implement the laws of Barbados without fear or favor, ill will or affection. Now, I spent 6 years in the police force, which is not a particularly long time, because I know a lot of guys who recruited me back in 1968. They spent 39 and 40 and 41 years and so on. However, I spent 2 years as a police in uniform on the beat, and the last 4 years was a plainclothes detective attached to the Southern Division, which included Oystins, the airport, District C, and District B. And I remember vividly a case involving some theft of material from the airport that was imported and was stolen from a bond at the airport, which we were called upon to investigate, and which we successfully investigated, and we arrested 3 guys. And the case was referred to the Supreme Court, and Sir Dighton Ward was the presiding judge, and Sir Elliot Belgrave was the lead prosecutor. And I don't remember who was the other prosecutor with him, because there were 2 prosecutors in the case. But the attorneys, there were 3 attorneys, two of the attorneys representing the defendants. One has passed away, and the other 2 are still prominent Queen's Counsels operating in the courts of Barbados, and I dare say throughout the region. Now, in this particular case, I was the junior detective, having only been gone to CID for about a year. So I was the low-hanging fruit for the defense attorneys. And I remember one of them asking me during my cross-examination if there was a weight room at District B Police Station. And I said yes. There was a room at District B Police Station which allowed policemen on duty to go there and exercise. They had barbells and weights and bench presses and all kind of things. And I said, yes, there's a weight room at Border Hall Police Station. The attorney licked his finger and said, I got it, in the court. And then he asked me if I took the particular accused in the room. And I said, yes. I said, I took him in there because the station office was full, and I was instructed by my sergeant to take him there and sit with him in a secure area. He said, what went on in there? I said, nothing. I said, he sat down, and I sat down at the door and put my foot at the door so he couldn't run out. Then he went on to accuse me of beating this man so badly across his chest and all about the place that when he went and reported it to the station sergeant at the time, who is now deceased, the station sergeant was so concerned about this brutality that he immediately removed me from the precincts of the station and sent the man to the QEH hospital. I went to the hospital in a different vehicle because this man was complaining, this lawyer was complaining of this brutal outburst that had me, had my hand, I'm left-handed, that had my hand examined for broken bones or splinters because this beating was so brutal. And I would never forget this. Dr. Ronald Wilson, who is now deceased, I believe, was the registrar in surgery at the QEH. And he personally was on call, and he personally supervised the case. And I had an X-ray on my left hand. The defendant had no signs of any injuries. He had chest X-rays, back X-rays, neck X-rays, and all kinds of things. And when the case, now all of these things would be given to the defense as part of the discovery process. When the case came up in court, they came back with these accusations again, and Sir Elliot Belgrave summoned Dr. Wilson to the court. Dr. Wilson said he was coming, give him half an hour. He was in Bridgetown, obviously, he got to come to Border Hall, and the court was adjourned for the session until Dr. Wilson came to give his evidence. When Dr. Wilson came and gave the evidence, the lawyer had to apologize to me for making that kind of outrageous thing. And he didn't want to do it now. He will do it tomorrow morning at 9:30 when the court resumed. So Dayton Ward said, no, you will do it now. You have sought to destroy this young man. This man is 23 years old, and what you have done is not good, and it was not, and it is not acceptable in this court, as long as I am a presiding judge. And he apologized, had hung his head like a sheep, and apologized. And about 2 days later, he saw me in the courtyard, and he came over to me and said, man, the fellas got you bright. I said, what do you mean about that? He said, man, if you stay in the police force, you're going to do well. You are very bright and honorable young man. I said, thank you, sir. And that was the end. That was the end of that. Now, I hear people complaining about police taking photographs of them. Okay? I left the police force, went overseas and studied management, hotel management. And one of my hotel management courses was a course in industrial security management. That course was conducted by a former FBI supervising special agent called John Walsh. I don't know if he's alive today or not, because if he's alive, he would be in his 90s. Dr. Walsh read out to us the first day of this program. It was a week's program as part of a two-year course. He read out the FBI core values, and they were the protection of life and property, the prevention and detection of crime, and the preservation of the peace. Those three core values are the same three core values that are in the Police Act of Barbados, under the statutes of Barbados. Okay? So there's no difference, certainly, in the initial core values between the FBI, mm-hmm. the big famous FBI, and the little teeny Royal Barbados Police Force. None.
If I may just read this WhatsApp to you, now that you're here, from the Royal Barbados Police Force. It says here, good day to all. Thanks for the compliments and well wishes extended to the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force. We are truly grateful and humble when it's openly highlighted the work we do for our country and its citizens. Our job has many challenges, but as an accredited police force, we will continue to enforce our core values and principles upon which the force was founded. Of course, with the continued support of the public we serve. And that is from Inspector Rodney Innes, Public Relations Officer, RBPF. I want to thank you for that message. And to all those who feel that way, the police, they want to thank you for your continued support. Proceed, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just let me move on. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear even in the Whitehall, and now I heard in the regional roundup, people in Trinidad complain about police photographing them. In 1969, I participated, along with 21 other young detectives, in a course that was held at the old the hotel there. It was next to Savannah. It's no longer Savannah. Anyhow, it was at that hotel, and that course was sponsored by Kodak, the Kodak Film Company, and the theme for that seminar was the use of photography in police investigations. Okay. Now, the gentleman from Kodak, who was one of their regional salespeople, engineers, whatever, he went through a whole range of photographic needs. Okay? So, to allow police to take photographs, certain angles, special lighting, and all kind of thing. Based on that, the government of the day went out and bought a Hasselblad camera, which was the camera that the astronauts took to the moon, and that's where Hasselblad became famous. Along with Omega Speedmaster watches. They were the ones that the U.S. astronauts took to the moon, costing at that time a pricey sum of about $8,000, mm-hmm. because of the quality. I count with 969. $8,000 was a small fortune. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to cut you, but you're going to have to wrap up. I have a full board, and we're heading into
that's one thing quickly, mm-hmm. and it has to do with the reopening of the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. Barbados built a tourism industry on friendliness of the people, stable government, quality of infrastructure and environment. If we do not pay attention to our garbage collection and garbage disposal in this country, and if we cannot control our indifferent and careless ways of disposing of garbage by individuals, we are going to lose out. This coronavirus has highlighted the need for cleanliness and public and private hygiene. I say no more, and I thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Peace be unto you.
And to you.
In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have not called this program for many years on a Tuesday. And it gives me great privilege today to listen and hear your moderation and the call is that call, despite the many tears in my eyes. Now, I was forced to take the phone and call because you heard the caller. I would be the fourth caller then. So you know to go back the call that I'm talking about. Who said that the things we should be marching about should be about the water, it should be about the Director General report, the Accountant General report, mm-hmm. and all those things. Yes, I quite agree that those are things that ought not to be happening in our society, such as the Barbados society, because we are controlled by a black government, black ministries, and, you know, the government is run by a black government. And forgive me using the word black, because I want to explain the word black and white. Now, before I go any further, I want some of the people who are listening today to go on their websites and check out a man called William Wilberforce. He was a white man. He was a minister administrating in England, in Britain to be exact. And they would read there about his conversion and where he set out with his life to what you would call suffer on the behalf of the Negro population, that what was happening to the Negro people in the 15th and 16th century. And therefore, it was with this understanding that when I read about him and studied him, I actually recognize that my attitude towards my life, my work, and everything was, you know, in agreement with myself, because I learned to examine life carefully, and therefore I listened to some callers on your program. I asked God, the true and living action God, who can do all things, to give me that grace and that strength and that courage and that support to understand Him. I listen to people talk, but I want to say today, despite that I identify myself as a black man, as I said I would, and explain black and white, I have no problem with a white man representing himself, saying that he is white and proud of who he is, superior. But I also want to say that I myself am very proud as a black man, a Negro man, which the word Negro means black. And I ought to be able to be proud of who I am, defend who I am, and be able to, what you would call, become, you know, not conventional, but learn to identify myself and who I am and what I stand for. I hear people talk about the God and the Bible and Jesus and everything like that. I want to say to you, man, today, and all the people who are listening to me, I've been listening to this program from in the days of Reverend Hatch and having interaction with him. And I want to say to people today, black people will never, ever get out of the triangle hole they are in if they continue to listen to the preachers who preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forgive me, as I said to you all, I identify myself, I know who I am and what I am. Listen to hear what I'm saying. The Bible, as it is written, and I understand it, is not preached by the church. What is written in the Bible is not preached. It is what is said by the preachers. I hope you understand what I just said.
Yes, go ahead. We do have to wrap up a little bit because we're heading down
that.
Too.
I hope that, but I hope I will be able to continue this conversation. Listen to what I'm saying. When I was a young man, I became very confused when I had to learn the second commandment. And then when I had to go to the Anglican church to see they have an object up on a cross, built like a man, and they tell me that man is Jesus. I go and I get there, got to bow and genuflect and bow my knees. How could the Bible be, how could it be written in the second commandment, I should not do this thing, but a man tell me I have to do it. And because if I have a problem with doing it, I am a rejected person.
And you will probably go to hell.
Pardon me?
And then they will probably tell you that you're going to hell.
Yes. And they decide, I've been sent there so many times because of what I believe, because of who I am. And all the staff at VLB will tell you they know me. You might be new to me. But the fact remains is I stood for what I believe. I went out of my way to start to represent people in Barbados because I recognize that you will never, ever get out of the situation because the economy belongs to the white man. The higher purchase system is the enemy of the black man. And I hope that you, I mean, you are a person, I heard you said you work in the bank. You understand?
No. I don't work in the bank. I never did. That'd be Dennis Johnson. Used to.
Coach Dennis Johnson.
Yes, Dennis has that experience. I'm not that privileged to be in. I'm probably not even that privileged to be in the lane in a bank. That would mean that I would have money, and I don't. But Dennis is telling me I have to wrap up. I actually want to thank you and want to respond to this WhatsApper who's just saying that I am not an engaging moderator. I just listen and bring nothing much to the program. And I say to you, sir, sometimes it's good just to listen. And before I take any more calls, I want to turn our attention to page 3 in the Nation newspaper, where the headline says, "Boy's death should not be in vain." And this little boy, his name was Ian Gibson, 11 years old when he died tragically, and the case is now over awaiting sentencing. I just want to make a special mention of this case because this was my neighbor when I lived in another part of St. Philip, and I got involved in the situation where to lend some support to the family, in particular the father, and I remember even setting up a Hotmail, and it said, "Justice for Ian." And a lot of you back then, 10 years ago, wrote in and expressed how you felt. And we wanted to make a commitment and to start an anti-bullying campaign. And I remember wanting to get signatures for people to take then to the then Prime Minister, the late David Thompson, because this is how long this problem has been and before. And 10 years later, I know, bullying still takes place in schools. And little Ian, his death should not be in vain. And I totally agree that this case was so important that we must use it as a ways and means of educating our children that bullying is not acceptable. To Paki and Linda, there are no words. After 10 years, I know you are still in pain, but I hope that justice somewhat has been served and that gives you some level of peace. And it's hard. It was hard when I heard it's hard for them over the years. Who feels it knows it, because nobody obviously wants to bury their child. So I am certainly going to join hands with the DPP in terms of stating that the dangers of bullying are still there, and we should not let little Ian Gibson's death be in vain, and we should always remember him. And when we're teaching about bullying in schools and wanting to educate children that we shouldn't, I hope we remember Ian Gibson. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 12:48. You are on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you today, ma'am?
I'm okay. What about you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, as they often say. This is Raul here.
Hello, Raul.
Yes. There are two comments that were related to that I want to touch on. But before I do that, let me just make it abundantly clear that Mr. Nasser and his pursuit, very assertive, very definitive and clear. What I like about him is that he has a lot. And congratulations to you, Mr. Nasser, 80 years and still going strong, very sharp. And still in goodness, thank God for that. What I like about his presentation is that he has a lot of resource to draw on. He was around really long, and he highlights things that would have happened. Now, I want to preface my thing today in respect to two comments. The first one is going to be, your station has been inundated with calls, and there are a myriad of comments in society as regarding. There was a lady who's referred to as Miss Undecided, and she spoke about the price gouging. Now, I have been relentless over the years, from in the 80s, speaking about prices in Barbados. I'm going to further qualify today. And no one can run me away or drive fear me not to do this. This is my disposition. And that is my right, and I will maintain this unequivocally and vehemently. But let me go on. Now, the minister visited, and she said that the minister went through one aisle, etc. But what I want to say, I don't know, Ms. Hague, if you've been following certain situations in Barbados for some time, but I remember we had a minister back then who visited the mental institution, a minister by the name of Mr. Don Blackman. and came the morning and reported that he found patients sleeping on the floor at the mental. You recall him saying like that? You
mentioned the
young lady then.
No, I can't say I recall right now.
Right. But Mr. Blackman was a minister then.
No, I know who he was. I don't recall his visit.
Oh, okay. My take is this. If I say to you that I'm going to this visiting of the supermarkets, in my estimation, should never be highlighted or notified. Just turn up at the supermarket, unannounced, you are a minister, and start to just go down through the aisles. Don't say you're going to go. Don't let it known that is your pursuit that you're going to be visiting. Don't do it. Go, unannounced, and then I think you stand a better chance of carrying out a proper analysis as regarding prizes, and nothing can be done to interfere with what you find, because you've gone unannounced, and that is what it is. You are there on the spot. I don't know what you have to say about
that. I'm trying to figure out. So you're saying that if he announces that he's going, they're going to change the prices?
I don't know. What
to suit his...
I don't know. All I'm saying is use the analogy of Mr. Blackman going to the mental and found what he found. If they knew he was going to come, I doubt he would find patients on the floor.
Change from the fact that it occurred? Does that change from the fact that other people would speak out, even if they wanted to make it look like Christmas when they arrive? There are still people who would be able to speak out.
I didn't get it quite. I didn't get your question quite.
No, I'm just saying that you're saying that he should not have made the announcement. This is Minister Sutherland. Uh-huh. He should never have made the announcement that he was coming.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying that because he made the announcement, they were able to ship the prices to accommodate what he saw?
I know he said in one of his SERPs that he found something wrong at a particular place, and then there and then it was adjusted. I know he said that. But I am satisfied. I am in society every minute of the day, though. Every minute of the day, though. I am always on the ground, and people, I hear them left, right, and center crying about prices not yesterday, not today.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do that until there's a change. And I made this clarion call. That is something. Look, let me ask you one question here again.
Mm-hmm.
There's let me use one item to be exact. There's a cartoon of milk made in Barbados at the Pine Hill Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $5.99. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to supermarkets too? And it has went to $9, which is a $3 increase. And I have heard moderators come on the air and attest to that they have paid so and so, two moderators in particular, and then it has risen and they queried it. And I am saying about this, people are satisfied enough that this price goes in, though.
I am convinced that there is. But do you remember when Minister Sutherland visited? He also stated that there is going to be streamlining of the information,
mm-hmm.
so that you can go online. Well, let's just say those who are techno savvy, because some people may not be able to do that, and be able to compare prices so that you can decide where you shop. Now, I hear some people saying, well, if you don't like it, don't shop there. Go other places and shop around. You can shop around if you have a car.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have a car, you have to take a bus. Mm-hmm. I can see you going one place just to get the corn, and another place just to get sugar and milk, mm-hmm. and because that price is cheap, and then another place. Most people like the one-stop shop.
Uh-huh.
However, the price gouging, if they streamline it and people could compare prices, mm-hmm. It's up to the business to stop shopping at X, go at Y. That forces X now to bring down his prices.
That has been my take.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I thank you, Ably, for fortifying me. Let me say something to you, ma'am. And later was at a town hall meeting. And I featured it in the paper next day. I've got the picture here up to now, laminated, because that is evidence that I know come around. Let me say to you, the one question that I put to the head table that night, and the current answer was this. I'm in a district, and I passed by an old friend, and that old friend says to me, Raul, I'm so glad to see you. I said, sir or ma'am, how are you keeping? I rush in, but in the area, I feel I should shout you. I want you to save me quick, Raul. I want an item, and the only time I've got and the only place that I can go and get that particular item for that person is at the one that is at its highest. I ain't had no time to run around for 4 or 5 to bring down or compare. When I run and buy it at that one that is at the highest, it's cheaper and incrementally at different places, but that is the one you can buy it at. I asked the question, and the photographer, who you could put this here, you are very clear. Who is going to protect that old man or that old gentleman? Because they can't, as you know, have said, can't run around or whatever. They've got to buy at that high price. I'm not, that's the highest, but there's reduction as they go to different places. But who is going to protect that old man? And no one I had table could have answered. That is where they feature me in the paper, the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I got a picture here. I don't have to lie.
No, I trust you, and I trust that you laminated it too.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I am that of that disposition, and I am not going to. Nobody could come and frighten me and tell me you this or you that, because my disposition continues to suit you. Then that was my mom. I'm fixing my way, and I don't have to be right all the time. But if I hold a position and I evaluate it with analysis and I'm sound in it, you could rest assured that it's going to be my dictates going forward. You know, my
okay.
second question is: mm-hmm. there was another call about the recycling. And the gentleman that he said he was a police and thing, and his latter comment was that they got to keep Barbados clean, and it's about cleanliness and keeping Barbados clean and washing your hands and things. I am saying that Barbados is perfectly right. If you look at the amount of garbage accumulated, let's use the example of bees, and the other person is storing all of that garbage that is good for recycling. If that was in our community, you know how dirty our community would be, though? Go up there and see the amount of stock at those places. That would be I would figure, environmentally hazardous to remember. Mm-hmm. Not
hazardous,
but
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hazardous.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I am saying mm-hmm. that I am satisfied that something is done, but I'm not satisfied sufficiently enough mm-hmm. that the recycling, because if you're talking about getting foreign exchange right now, mm-hmm. you've got to garner that by looking at the emphasis with the recycling and get it up and running. I am not particularly satisfied that sufficient is currently done as getting the bees and the other associated mm-hmm. people and getting.
I want to mention something here, Raul. Someone is here saying good afternoon. A correction, which I don't know, so I can throw it at you. It was not Minister Blackman that went to the mental health institution unannounced. It was the previous Minister of Health, Dr. Cattle, as far as their memory serves.
It was Dr. Cattle.
That's what they're saying. But I just thought I would throw that in there. Potato.
I would more certain. But that's not the issue. The issue
exactly.
Is
I just wanted me to read it to you.
I'm more certain that it is. Mm-hmm. But I can be corrected. I often say I'm not Jesus. I am not perfect. But I can be corrected, man.
I'll tell you this, though, wrapping up. You always make a good contribution. And it's good to see that, as you said, you're humble. And you go there and you speak respectfully. And you tell us.
And decorum.
Exactly. Some and that's what we like. You don't get personal. You never do. I listen to you regular, and I realize you stick on point, and you don't get personal.
When I disagree, and I want to cross your body, I'm not Marley, but something you got to joke it in with people. Some people unjustly come to with any decorum and modesty to curse you. To curse you, I don't agree with that, though.
Nobody can ever say
that I was disrespectful on a call.
No. There are some with some underlying issues that, you know, but that's okay. Even the dull and ignorant, they too have a story. We got to respect everybody,
but we
have to make sure that we respect each other. And that's what's interesting with these calling programs. There are some moderators, and they put it on Facebook too. They call out our names, and they put some things that are not exactly pleasing. But once they don't go over the line of defamation and libel and stuff, then it's all good. This is part of the territory, and I didn't reach 50 to be thin-skinned. So I think that the more, at least I could speak for myself. I mean, Corey,
yeah.
I could see Corey there in the distance with Dennis talking. He may come and join me for 2 minutes.
Okay.
But I will say this. The more you tackle me and the more you have an opinion. I'm going to listen, and it can either make me stronger, but it is not going to kill me. That's for sure. And I think we need to listen. I think we need to listen to our critics, people who compliment you, which is great. You like compliments, but that's for a couple seconds. You don't. When you get a compliment, you don't really think about what you're doing wrong. You just think about everything you're doing right. But when you get the constructive, and I know what I said, constructive criticism, it gives you time to better yourself. So it depends on how you take it, huh? And I take it when I think they're being genuine with the constructive criticism, and when they just want to be blatantly disrespectful and go the low road, I take the high road. But I want to.
I am going to say my final comment to you, ma'am, will be this.
Mm-hmm.
Do not condescend to no law. keep your dignity up and your assertiveness. Don't condescend to no law. Don't go to no God or nobody. If they don't have no decorum, that's the matter for them.
Okay. And the only time I go into the gutter is if I'm going to clean it, because sometimes it gets blocked up. I want to thank you so much for your contribution.